The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, fellas, for that. I want to do something a little bit different tonight. I don't know how preachy I'm going to be. I'm going to treat it almost like a Wednesday night Bible study because of the content, but I want us to see some things about the subject matter at hand. So take your Bible, please, and go back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, where we are being instructed here, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Over in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 8, the Bible says here, it says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And so I want to speak tonight on overcoming pride. Overcoming pride. Somebody has said that a person can be able to eloquently describe that which is pride, but can do little to describe humility. In our Bible colleges across America, we have many courses on prayer, many courses, if you will, on soul winning, many courses on how to prepare and deliver sermons, many, many courses on different subject matters of the Bible, but no such course on humility. The presence of God, I do believe, flees that which is a proudful man. I believe that. You see in the Bible that in the temple of Jerusalem, there was two such prayers that was there in the temple of Jerusalem. One of them wanted to be justified before God. The other wanted to be justified before self. Somebody said that pride's ultimate goal is to preserve self, is to protect self, and to promote self. Muhammad Ali one day was getting on a plane, and as he was getting on the plane, the stewardess just kept coming back and saying, "You need to buckle up." And he wouldn't buckle up. She said, "I said, you need to buckle up." He often called himself Superman, if you remember. And he said, "Superman does not need a seat belt." And she said very quickly, "Superman does not need a plane." Pride can get us into trouble. Let me give you a couple of things about pride tonight. I think it would be noteworthy at least to listen with an attentiveness tonight. There's the problem with pride. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 17, the Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, even seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood." How is pride described? Well, pride is described by thinking more highly of ourselves than what we should. It's describing ourselves to be something more than what we are. Matter of fact, a scientist one day took all the chemicals that would be that which is the compository of the body and said the value of the chemicals that is in your body is valued at $2.52, and that's about all your body is worth. But yet we understand that people have problems with pride. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verses 1 and 2, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now the Bible talks about that you and I have to be careful in being lifted up. May I say we have to be careful in lifting ourselves up. Pride is taking credit for all success and bragging on that whether you had all, some, or no part. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, it says, "But by grace of God, I am what I am." But by the grace of God, Paul says, "I am what I am." He didn't say, "by my own intent, by my own making." He said, "but by the grace of God." Pride is thinking you deserve something better than the way that you're treated. You think that maybe somebody has not treated you well or treated you to the level that you deserve. And because of that, pride comes forth. Pride is that which stops the words such as, "I'm sorry." It stops the words such as, "I have sinned." It stops the words such as, "I was wrong." It stops the words such as, "I apologize." Pride kills that which is thankfulness. Very seldom do you ever hear a proud person saying thank you so very much. They believe that they justly ought to receive all that's given to them and therefore does not have a thankful heart. There was the story one day of a young man in the supermarket, and he was just eyeing the apples. Oh, he eyed the apples up and down, and he wanted to have an apple. Finally, the supermarket attendant gave him the apple, and he said, here you go, son. What do you say? And he shouted back with an angry type of voice. He said, peel it. What is that? That's an unthankful heart. Pride is wanting to run your own life. Pride is having a hard time taking orders from that which is your counselor. One preacher said this, be what you is, not what you ain't. Because if you is what you ain't, then you ain't what you is. Say, repeat that again. I can't. Why? I'm too proud to do it. Psalm 73 in verse 6, the Bible says, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. It says, violence covereth them as a garment. Over in Psalm 10 in verse 4, the Bible says, the wicked, it says, through pride, it says, in his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in their thoughts. Pride stops us, if you will, stops us from settling an argument, but rather we want to argue on. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5, the Bible says that everyone is proud in heart, that is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. God hates the sin of pride. The Bible says that a proud man will resist that which is God. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, but he giveth more grace. It says, wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace unto the humble. So the problem with pride is that pride gives us problems. Listen to some of the characteristics as described by others and also by the scriptures tonight when it comes to understanding about pride. H.T. Webster, of course, was writing a note of congratulatory, if you will please, to those that gave gifts. And so it was a congratulatory note to 20 acquaintances, he said, but he didn't do one thing for these acquaintances. He was just writing them a congratulatory note. It might have been, maybe he said something like, I heard you speak the other day, and you did such a marvelous job in your speech. But they never gave a speech. Or maybe he said such as, I remember the day that I saw you, and you were welcoming somebody that was a neighbor, and you did a good job in welcoming that person. And the person, each one of those persons, 20 of those acquaintances, that he was almost positive, never did any of the stuff that he was congratulating them for, every single one of them wrote back a letter saying thank you. And they never did what they said or what he said that they had done. What is that? That's called pride. Pride is the woodpecker that pecks on the tree, and all of a sudden lightning strikes the tree, and the tree falls over, and the woodpecker stands to the side and says, look what I did. That's called pride. Pride is a person saying, I can do all things. By the way, pity is a person saying, I can do no things. And peace is a person that says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Pride is the letter, if you will, that is the letter I, also the same letter that is the letter that's in the middle of sin, and is the letter that gets, yes, I, in trouble the most. You can be very descriptive about pride as you read your Bible. Obadiah says this, Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, the pride, it says, of thine heart hath deceived thee. So it's very deceptive. A pride is very destructive. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 19, the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. It was during the battle of the wilderness that was fought in the Civil War. During the battle of the wilderness, you can read about this in your history book, there was a fellow by the name of John Sedgwick. John Sedgwick was riding up and down, and he was inspecting his troops. And one of his troops said to Mr. Sedgwick, said, you ought to get down. Those musket balls, they're going to hit you, and they're going to kill you. And he said, nonsense, as a musket ball flew directly through his chest, and he dropped off of the horse dead. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low. Boy, that sounds like Sedgwick, doesn't it? The Bible says, but honor shall uphold the humble in the spirit. The giant of pride, can I tell you, will destroy your testimony? Can I tell you that it destroys your service? Can I tell you that pride tonight will destroy your marriage? Can I tell you that pride tonight will destroy your peace? Can I tell you, young people, listen to me, can I tell you tonight that pride will destroy your relationship with your dad, your relationship with your mom? Pride will cause you not to seek advice from that person that loves you so very deeply. And pride will cause you to think that you can do it all by yourself and know all that is right simply because of pride. Pride will destroy a church. I've seen people not get right with each other because of that which is pride. I've seen families separate because of pride. I've seen pastors and members have fusses and fights because of pride. I've seen young people run away from home because of pride. I've seen people that need financial aid or at least financial wisdom, yet they consult either, and what happens is they wind up a financial disaster because of pride. I've seen people drive their cars and not receive advice about how to maintain a car, and before you know it, the car is now messed up, all because of pride. I've seen deacons fight, not at this church, thank God. At least they don't do it in the church. They always fight on the front lawn, but not in the church. But can I tell you, I've seen deacons fight in churches because of pride. I've seen people not receive counsel, not receive love, not receive forgiveness, not receive restoration, not receive help, not receive that which is instruction, all because of that one word called pride. Pride destroys. It destroys, of course, according to Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 32, where it talks about how it not just destroys, but devours. The Bible says, and the most proud shall stumble and fall. It shall devour all around about him. So, pride is deceptive. Pride is destructive. Pride devours. It was Benjamin Franklin that wrote this in an autobiography. He said this about himself. He said, there is perhaps no one other than the natural passions that I have to be able to subdue pride, whereby pride always wins. Pride is that which will be very divisive. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, only by pride cometh contention. What's that mean? Divisiveness, divisiveness. In a Peanuts cartoon, Linus is sitting there. He's sitting in a chair, and he's reading a book. Lucy comes up and stands right beside him, and he's getting a strange stare from Lucy. And all of a sudden, Lucy speaks something very strange. She says, there's something very strange every time I look at you. Linus said, what do you mean by that? She says, every time I look at you, I feel criticism coming out. What is that? That's an element of pride. Pride is very divisive. Pride is that, if you will be something that helps us not to rely on God. Matter of fact, we deny Almighty God working in our life because of pride. Over in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 3, the Bible talks about how Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God. It says of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before thee and let the people go that they may serve me? You know, Pharaoh was somebody that was not humbling himself. He was denying that God was God. And can I tell you, because of that, the plagues came. And because of that, he lost his son, all because of pride. Pride is that tonight that causes problems. Pride is that tonight that we see the characteristics of it. Pride is something that people get caught up in. Did you know that? You know, Saul, according to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 15, chapter 15 and verse 17, the Bible says that Saul said, the Lord said, and Saul said about the Lord, or the Lord said about Saul that when he was little in his own sight, when he was little in his own sight. Now, you understand that Saul was a man of pride, and he began to swell up, thinking that he could be greatly used in his own self-image and will. And because of that, you have an example of a man that wound up in utter destruction because of pride. There was Naaman. Naaman, of course, covered with leprosy. And as Naaman was instructed to go down and to dip into the muddy pond, the Bible says that he became very wrath and went away in a rage. Why? Because of pride. He thought that the muddy pond was way too low for him. There's the Pharisee. The Pharisee said this as he was praying there in the temple in Luke chapter 18, verses 11 through 12, where the Bible says that the Pharisee stood and he prayed thus in himself. He said, I thank God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners and unjust and adulterers and even as this publican. He was striking himself twice, if you will, as he looked down on that publican. What is that called? That's called pride. Herod was a man that would sit on a throne of royalty. Herod was a man, if you will, that decided that he was going to be like, just like God. And it was the God's hand that smote him. And the Bible says that all of a sudden now he's eaten up with worms over in Acts chapter 12, verses 21 through 23, as he gave up the ghost. Pride will bring a man even to that which is death. Nebuchadnezzar was another one. In Daniel chapter 4, verses 30 through 33, you'll see that Nebuchadnezzar, here was a man that was full of pride, and he took over that which was the throne whereby he exalted himself to be high as God, and God brought him low, and for 7 years he went around being insane. For 7 years he grazed in the pastures like an ox that was eating out there on the field. Now, later you'll see in Daniel chapter 4 that I believe that God used his testimony to be able to write a gospel tract. There is that which is Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon one day was teaching his preacher boys how to preach. And then all of a sudden, one of the preacher boys got up there full of pride. Oh, he lost his notes as he was going from one place to the other place, and he couldn't find his notes. And Spurgeon watched him as he came down off of the platform. And Spurgeon said, if you would have went up into that platform like you came down out of that platform, you could have came down out of that platform like you went up into that platform. What he was saying was this. He was simply saying the way that you went up there with that which was pride and you came down in humility because of the fact that you lost your notes, if you would have went up there in God and let God work in you and let God work through you, then you could have came down a little bit more proud than you came down in humility. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we get so wrapped up in ourselves. We look at it as our bus route. We look at it as our Sunday school class. And by the way, I think you ought to take ownership and you ought to be able to serve God to the greatest degree that you can possibly serve God and give it everything you've got. But I want to tell you something. Don't never, ever forget that it is God that blesses. I've seen dear men of God over the years, and they've not had Bible college education, and they've not had a great degree of experience in preaching in national places, on platforms and whatnot, and they might be in the back holler someplace pastoring a church, but God's using them, and people are being saved, and lives are being changed, and people are being challenged by the Word of God, and you see that lives are that which is making a difference in the community. But the men know that it's not because of them. It's because of a holy God that uses that which is the Word of God. And you and I, as young preachers, I said you and I, as young preachers, we understand that all we are is mailmen. All we are is that which is just somebody, if you would please. It's postal workers, like Brother Sweatman is. Just somebody, if you will, that delivers the mail. Somebody that does their part to be able to get out the Word of God. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions and we'll close. What is it about pride that you deal with? Let me ask you something. Take a test tonight. Are you easily offended? Are you easily offended? Well, you know, they sat in my chair. Well, they sat in my pew. Well, they sang my song. Well, they wore the, I thought that I was the one that was getting that dress, or I thought that I was the one that was getting that, I thought that I was the one that was getting that, I thought that I was the one that had the market cornered, and I was the only one, and then all of a sudden somebody else gets it and they show up, and it looks better on them than it did on you. I'm asking you a question tonight. Are you easily offended? Well, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to go back and sit in that area of the church because so-and-so was around me and they fell asleep while the preacher was preaching and they snorted. Are you easily offended tonight? Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to sit in front of Sister So-and-so because I don't think that women ought to say amen in church. And she just kept saying amen in a low whisper, but mind you, it just bothered me. By the way, if the men would say amen in church, it'd be a whole lot better. Are you easily offended? Somebody gets up and they sang the song that you've been practicing for 4 months and you've been scared to get up and sing it. They practice it for 3 days and they got up and sang it and they did a good job. Are you easily offended? Are you easily offended because you pulled up and some new member of the church parked in your parking spot? I guess it's mail call, isn't it? Are you easily offended? Are you offended because somebody gave somebody else money and they didn't give you money? Are you offended because somebody was recognized on their birthday and you were not recognized on your birthday? Are you offended because somebody was recognized on their anniversary, but you were not recognized on your anniversary? Are you offended? Are you easily offended because now there's a new member in the youth department and your longtime friend is sitting next to them and is not sitting next to you anymore? Are you easily offended? Oh, you've tried to get up nerve for months on end. You saw this girl, and she's dating age, and so you saw her, and you saw her, and you saw her, and every time you saw her, you saw her. And boy, you just, inside of your heart, it was like, wow, I'm going to ask her, I'm going to ask the daddy if I can be a friend with her. And hopefully he'll say yes, and it's going to turn out for good, and we're going to get married and have 45 kids. I mean, it's going to be a wonderful thing. And so, man, you get up the nerve and you get right up there to ask her if you can, or get up there to ask her daddy if maybe you can become a friend to her, and you just lose your nerve. I mean, you just come apart. Your hands begin to sweat, your eyeballs begin to float, your throat begins to go dry, and your nervous system is now just all out the back door. Then all of a sudden, you see somebody else approach the daddy. Yes, you do. And he walks up, oh, he's not as sharp looking as you. Oh, he doesn't have the walk that you have. Oh, he doesn't have the nice clothes that you have. Oh, he's got two, that's right, two. Oh, maybe three, hairs out of place, and you saw and you counted each one. And he walks up and he says to that daddy, I'd like to get to know your daughter. And he said, I've been praying, the daddy says, for somebody like you to come along for a long time. I'm so glad. Not only can you get to know her, you can date her. Not only can you date her, you can marry her. Matter of fact, if you want to get married right now, I'll call the preacher and we'll take care of it. And so calls the preacher and I walk up the hallway and I pronounce them husband and wife and they leave and they go on their honeymoon and it all took place within 20 minutes. That's what some of you fellows would like to happen. And you get married to her and say, I can't afford her. Can I give her back? Are you easily offended? Does it irritate you when somebody points out your faults? Well. Does it irritate you when somebody corrects you? What about you young men that now you're growing up and you've got three hairs on the bottom of your chin? And you got now maybe a couple of hairs underneath your armpit. And you want hairs on your chest. They're not there yet, so you shave them off of your armpit and glue them on your chest. You leave your top button unbuttoned just a little bit. That way the Texas wind can push them this way and push them that way. And it's a flare. You poke out your chest. I mean, after all, you have to poke it out because there's not much there. So you poke it out so that it looks like that you're flexing your muscles. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, does it offend you if somebody corrects you? Does it offend you as a young man if your daddy tells you you need to straighten up in church? Does it offend you if your daddy, as a young man, tells you, get your hair cut? Does that offend you? Does it offend you, girls, when your mama says, sit like a lady? Does that offend you? Does it offend you, all of a sudden, when you ask your husband for his advice? Now, if he's wise, he won't give it. But when you ask your husband for his advice and you say, honey, how's this dress look on me? Now, I'm telling you, that's a trap. Don't you dare answer it. You're going to wind up in court somewhere, and you're going to lose. But, what you could say is, honey, why would you ask such a question? Every dress looks marvelous on you. Yeah, that'd take care of it. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, does it irritate you if somebody was honest? I mean, if they were truly honest with you, does it irritate you? All of a sudden, you go to your husband, and he doesn't have the tack of a gnat. You go up to him, and you say to him, how's this dress look on me? And he says, well, I've been waiting for you to ask me that for a long time. It looks absolutely disgusting beyond compare. You look like an old woman. You ought to take it off and trash it and burn it. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even give it to the Salvation Army because it's such a disgusting dress. Now, can I tell you, he's not going to have a place to lay his head at night. Does it irritate you when somebody points out your faults, when somebody corrects you? Can I ask you this? When you make a mistake, do you alibi about it? Do you try and cover it up? Do you try to make yourself look good? Because after all, you are you. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you find it hard to receive instruction? If somebody comes up, you say, but I'm older and he's younger. But if he knows more than you, might it be good for you to drop your pride and listen? You know, most of the doctors I go to nowadays are younger than I. Hello? Yes, I am worried. But they got their degrees. They're practicing. I hope they practice a whole lot before they get me, but they're practicing. Do you get upset when somebody crosses your rights? Do you get upset? When somebody all of a sudden crosses into your area, does that upset you? The woman says, the kitchen is my area. Well, if your husband comes in and he tries to help a little bit, does that upset you? The man says, well, the grass is my area. But if your wife wants a little exercise and she gets out there and she mows it one day, does that upset you? Well, the roof is... Here, you want to come up here? But does it upset you when somebody crosses your rights? I mean, really, does it upset you? Does it upset you when all of a sudden somebody gets in your space? I didn't say safe space. Somebody said, oh, preacher, we're taking down the trees and we're going to put grass out there? Does that mean that we are going to provide a safe space? You know, isn't that what they call it, safe space? These colleges, what's it called? Safe space, that's what I thought. These guys, they don't know nothing. They're looking at me. But, you know, to go out there in the safe space, I know what I'm talking about. I listen to the news. I do. But go out there and say, you know, that way nobody can hurt your feelings. By the way, you listen to me. It used to be that somebody could disagree with you and you would not get your feelings hurt and go off and crying like a whiny baby. You know, now, I'm telling you, now in churches, I'm talking about independent Baptist churches. I'm talking about where guys used to get up and be leather-lunged and they would let it rip and they would shoot shotgun shells every single time they would preach and they'd mow people down and people would sit there and smile and say, that was so good. Now they jump from one church to another church because they're baby in their emotions and they can't take it. Whatever happened to real men? Whatever happened to ladies that love God, that if the preacher got up and he just happened to preach that Jesus was up here and you were down here, that you didn't get offended that your God was higher than you? Amen. I'll say it again. I'd rather be in a church that's a little bit tougher than I am to toughen me up than to go to some type of liberal outfit where all of a sudden the preacher gets up and he apologizes for livings and he's tiptoeing through the tulips with Tiny Tim singing some type of rainbow song with homosexuals. Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying that you and I need to drop the pride and let God be the one that helps us. Do you ever seek advice? Ever seek advice? Do you ever go to somebody that is more of an expert in another area than you, or are you an expert in all areas? Do you have a grateful spirit? Have you ever visited Chick-fil-A and received training from those that are workers? Thank you. I'll be glad to. Thank you for coming today. I mean, what's wrong with America and we've lost our thankfulness? When's the last time you ever went up to your daddy and said, I just want to thank you for being dad? When's the last time you ever went up to your mama and said, I just want to thank you for being mom? When's the last time you went up to a Sunday school teacher and said, I want to thank you for being my Sunday school teacher, or a bus captain, thank you for being the world's greatest bus captain? When's the last time you went up to somebody that was a choir director, or went up to somebody that was working in the college or working in another department, and you went up to them and you said, I just want to thank you. I mean, I just want to thank you. When's the last time you went up to your friend and said thank you? When's the last time you went up to your wife or went up to your husband and you said, I just want to thank you for being the world's greatest spouse? When's the last time? When's the last time that you took mom and dad out for a meal or bought dad a pair of shoes? When's the last time that you took dad shopping and say, look, you're always spending money on me, and by the way, the money I have is money you gave me, but I would like to be able to give something back to you. When's the last time you took him out and say, Dad, this meal's on me? Or Mom, this meal is on me. I'm talking about just being somebody that is grateful. Now, let me talk to you, if I may, about the cure to that which is pride. The cure to pride. Statement number one, confess it. Confess it. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. So confess it. By the way, it is a sin when you're dwelling on or being consumed by pride. Number two, serve God's people. Serve God's people. Get involved in serving the people of God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, but he made himself, it says, of no reputation, but took on him the form of a servant and made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Serve God's people. Just decide that they're worth serving. Find somebody. Shake their hand. Go open a car door for one of these dear ladies and make sure all the body parts gets in and then shut the door. But to serve God's people. Ask how somebody is doing and try to help them. Statement number next, obey God's man. Obey God's man. Now, I'm not saying obey God's man in a foolish way, nor am I saying obey God's man, and I'm not saying worship God's man. But I'm saying if a man of God gets up and he gives you Bible truth, understand that that truth is from the Bible. And understand that God uses the Bible still today to be able to help us to obey him. And he's got to use a vehicle, and it just so happens in our day and time, he's using men of God to be able to do that. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 3, the Bible says, and Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. And so the men of God tried to stand. I'm telling you, they tried to stand for that which is righteous, is good, for that which is holiness, for that which is going to help us as individuals. Statement number next, fast. I remember the first time I heard somebody ask me, I was getting ready to go to Bible college. I had no clue. I had no clue what fasting was, and I had no clue. And so the man of God that was talking to me, he said, now, I'll tell you what, why don't we pray and fast together? I didn't hear the word and. I heard pray, fast, and so that's what I did. I was a track runner, and I carried a watch with me, and I was a sprinter, and so I would time myself as I would run. And so I'd done that for many years, and so trying to break records or whatever, and so I'd time myself, and I would take off as I was running, and so I had a stopwatch. Old silver stopwatch. I still got it today. Old silver stopwatch that I used when I ran track and field. Still got it today. I don't know if it works. I've not sprinted in many years. But But I've got that old watch. And I remember Dr. Ryan Riley, when I said, I'm praying about where to go to Bible college. And he said, my pastor, I'm sorry, Dr. Shelton Smith. I went to my pastor and I said, look, I'm praying about going to Bible college and I don't know where to go. And he said, well, look, he said, let's pray and fast together. Well, I thought he meant pray fast. I did. And I thought the faster you pray, the more God hears you. And I thought the faster you pray, the more God will answer prayer. And I got it down pretty good. I mean, I got it down. Now I was much limber back then. And it wasn't two of me I was carrying around, just a skinny one of me. And so, but I would kneel down as fast as I could. And I would just, and then hit that thing and I rise up. And I thought, the faster you pray, the more God hears you. Now, I believe God saw that ignorance. But I believe that he saw past the ignorance a heart that wanted to please him. And I'm sure he chuckled at me in heaven, thinking, look at that Michael guy down there. He doesn't have a clue. I mean, look at him, how silly he is. And I'm sure that Gabriel blew his horn and said, hey, come on to this side over here and look down there, you know. And but I'm saying this. I'm saying that God wants us to fast about important things. The Bible says in Psalm 35 and in verse 13, the Bible says, but as for me, it says, they were sick. It says, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled my soul with fasting and prayer and return, it says, into my own bosom. And so here you see that a person is praying and fasting, and they're taking it very, very seriously. Now, I'm saying tonight that there's ways, there's cures. What do? Confess it. Confess it. God, I'm having trouble with pride. I'm thinking of myself more highly than what I ought to think of myself. God, it just seems like I'm walking in the flesh. It just seems like I'm not happy in serving Christ. It seems like my flesh is getting in the way. It seems like that I don't like it when people tell me what to do. I easily get offended. I mean, I've got this problem with pride where I don't want to receive instructions. I don't want people to cross my path. I don't want people to cross my rights. I mean, I've got an ungrateful spirit. God, I'm just eaten up with pride. And God, I know that you can't use me if I'm eaten up with pride. So God, I come to you tonight and I confess and I ask you to help me with that. How can I do it? How can I do it? Well, I can also serve people. Look for people. Serve people. Help people. Just go around and look for things to do to be able to help God's people. I can obey what the preacher says. Then I can fast and ask God to help me. Now, Father, bless, I do pray. Thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.